Podcasting 2.0 for May 31st, 2024, episode 181, Bucket of Chicks. Hello, everybody. We are back in the saddle once again. Time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. That's right. Everything going on with podcasting, except no substitutes. This is where it all happens. What's going on with the namespace? Podcastindex.org, Podcasting 2.0, Podcastindex.social. We are the only boardroom that plays music and pays the artists. That's right. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who you always want to join your pool party. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Pod Sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
I've been found guilty.
Guilty
on all counts.
All counts. What did you do?
Guilty of being awesome.
Yes, Dave Jones, you are very guilty of being awesome, my friend. Awesome.
I'm sitting, I didn't tell you before the show started, but I'm sitting next to a bucket of chickens.
A bucket of chickens?
Chickens.
Like fried chickens chickens. Chickens.
This is pre-fried. These are chicks. They hatched.
You're hatching chicks. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. So you have a little hot heat lamp and everything.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like this little heat, what you call it?
A heat lamp.
It's sort of like it's not a lamp though. It's like a heat pad. But it's elevated on these little legs that you screw up and down to raise and lower the heat towards, like, you know, to make like a little personal space for the chickens.
So not only are you awesome, you're also a chick magnet.
Yes,
you. Thank you, lavish.
Right beside me. Yeah, I have 11 chicks right beside me in a bucket.
Has your dog discovered the chicks yet? That's always fun.
Well, see, they're in the podcast room because it's really the only place in the house that we can kind of lock them up, and it makes sense. So they're right beside you. They're not peeping real loud yet, but they may get going in a minute.
Okay, but
there's literally 11 of them down there.
Oh, that's so cute. And do they know their future is to have their next chop by you?
These are egg layers. These aren't choppers.
Oh, okay. We'll keep
unless
these.
They're roosters, then I may have to chop them.
We'll keep these.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
So cute. Oh, man.
So we didn't have a board meeting last week. I was jonesing a little bit, although most of my Friday was comprised of travel to Nash Vegas.
I missed you, sweetheart.
I missed you too, darling. What did you do on your day off?
Hung sheetrock. I did.
I'm sheetrock, high drunk drywall. I got my truck. Yeah, in my flatbed. Mm-hmm. Well, so we went to the K-Love Fan Awards weekend. K-Love is a Christian music, it's a network, really, stations all across the country. And they do this one weekend in Nashville at the, the Opryland, no, the Gaylord Hotel, which is right next to the Grand Ole Opry, which is basically a biodome.
Yeah, it's huge. That hotel is gigantic.
But the thing is like you feel like you leave your room and you walk out, and you and they've got palm trees and there's rivers and waterfalls, but it's all inside a biodome.
Yeah, it's like Pauly Shore is in there somewhere that you just got to find it.
Pauly Shore? Of all the names, Pauly Shore.
Biodome? Wasn't that his movie, Biodome?
I don't think I've seen it.
I swear he had a movie called Biodome. No,
wouldn't surprise
or
me.
Something.
So there's thousands of people at this event, and it's all music. I mean, from Friday night, they had a concert in the... the Delta Ballroom, which I think holds 2,500 people, and the sound was amazing. I was very, very surprised by that. And then you have the next day, you had like songwriters roundtable and emerging artists. And then Sunday morning, Elevation Worship played. And then Sunday night was the actual awards at the Grand Ole Opry. And man, I got to tell you. So first of all, you walk around Nashville and everyone's a musician. Everybody's in me. I mean, literally, we were in a restaurant and I said, look at this guy who's serving us. I'm going to say bass player. And I nailed it.
Did you? For real? Yeah, that's what I forgot who I forgot who it was. Some musician used to say, I think it maybe Randy Travis or somebody said that, like, you're the average janitor, like, don't get too much of a big head, because the average janitor in Nashville is a better guitar player than you are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all these guys, of course, you know, because you really can't make much money with music anymore. Everyone has to tour consistently or constantly. And if they don't tour, they're working for Dave Ramsey. I mean, it's like,
what? Does he have a stranglehold on Nashville for some reason?
He does. I mean, he has a lot of people working for him. That's a big operation. It's a huge operation.
Does he live in Nashville?
I think so. Yeah, I think he's. Okay, I think maybe, his whole outfit.
What's the place? What's the big suburb outside of Nashville where all the rich people live? Is that Brentwood?
There's Brentwood. Yeah. I think. Well, there's help me out, Boardroom. There's it's very it's on the tip of my tongue now. Sir Patrick Colville lives there.
Franklin.
Okay, yeah, that's Franklin. And there's another one. Murfreesboro, of course, is another one. But Franklin is where a lot of where the touring musicians live. Like the Mercy Me guys, they all live in Franklin. Anyway, yeah. And so what you notice when they're all on stage playing, and there was some real superstar talent there from the Christian music world.
Oh,
which is not like hymns and gospel, but it's, I mean, you got Crowder, Matthew West. I mean, these are like rock and roll songs.
The I'll just in general say that the quality of Christian music now is so much better than it used to be like 20 years ago.
Oh, no, I mean, doubt. Like
it's not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah. It's almost crossing over with country. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
But what you notice pretty quick is everybody is writing and playing together. All the songs, like, well, Ethan wrote that song and that song. I played with him on this. And so it's kind of a small group. And, you know, that's because it's also the Nashville vibe, is, which I would say is the heart of, it's kind of like LA was in the 80s and 90s, where everyone's just there, everyone's playing there, and everyone's writing together. So, it's an exciting environment, and no one's making money on their music.
is a problem.
Yeah. and there's a lot of grousing. I mean, these artists, like, you know, they tour, so they're touring, and that keeps everything alive for them. I say this all in lead up because today on this very Boardroom, we'll be offering the planetary world global premiere.
Breaking
of the new Ainsley Costello track. Which is a People Pleaser. We'll be playing it later on the show.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm setting this up this way is because she has, I think, three top Nashville songwriters who collaborated on this record with her.
Ooh, really?
And,
that's big time.
And the Costellos put a lot of time into convincing them that value for value is the way.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they got their wallets and everything all set up. And so when we play the track, it would be great if everybody could be using CurioCaster, Fountain, Podverse, Podcast Guru, the stuff that understands the live and lit, streaming sats and boosts. It doesn't matter how much you boost, but let's just give them as many boosts as we can. I want them to have a good experience, if you know what I'm saying.
Where's the feed?
Where's the feed?
Oh, here it is. I found it in the index. Okay, People Pleaser. Here it is. I was just wanting to look at the feed and see who's in it for a split, you know?
The splits may be on the back end on Wavelake, I think.
Okay, yeah, it's only going to Wavelake. Okay.
But at least I hope
there's
so.
There's one split.
At least I hope so.
Yeah, there's one. Okay, so there's one. I'm just looking at the value tag in here. There's one split, and it says, in the name of the split, value recipient name, People Pleaser via Wavelake. And then there's an address, custom value. Okay, so.
But we just, we know, yeah, they're splitting it out back there, I believe.
Okay.
It's Christian Harger and Nathan Doze.
Okay.
Hey, Pfeiffer. Yeah, so Pfeiffer says, Wavelake, I'm out, bro. All right, man. If you want to help value for value, have that attitude. That's really good. That's the right attitude. That's really helpful. That's really, really helpful. That's really going to move the needle for everybody.
it's going to make artists want to really jump in.
Yeah, they want to hop in and then really get on the DMU train. That's right. That's right. Please. But it was very exciting because there was a lot of people there who were very interested in what we're doing. And
did they know about it, or do you have to evangelize?
No, I had to preach. I had to evangelize, of course.
Okay.
Now, this kind of leads up to another thing, because I did have a nice conversation with Jim and Julie this week. And, you know, they kind of flew an upside down flag at me. Yeah. Appealed to heaven. They had the pine tree flag. They flew the U.S. flag upside down. They were in distress.
Oh, the pine tree, the pine cone,
the pine tree flag. And so we had a really great chat. First of all, they're Ainsley's parents, but they're still trying to figure out navigating their way through this Valueverse and trying to onboard people and start a business. Mm-hmm. Which is what we really need. You know, we have to create a form of an industry here with Value for Value Music. And of course, I'm only coming from the kind of radio guy background, where what is important to me is that we can play songs in podcasts and that we have the splits go through remote items, value time split, etc. So they had a couple of things we need to talk about briefly. Music license, actually, that's getting pretty close, and I feel comfortable that we're coming up with a remote item license that will work for music being played in podcasts. And okay. That's already been implemented in a form with RSS Blue, I believe, and with True Fans. And I think we need to get that license, the actual license itself, onto some place that is where licenses belong. I'm not sure is.
We have the phase 7 is closing tomorrow. So it's good timing. I mean, I can do that as soon as it's ready.
Okay, good. Obviously they're in it for the long haul, because things don't, you know, just all of a sudden happen the minute we're all excited. And we'll talk about that, because things have been happening that are exciting, but it takes years. But the main thing that they were concerned about is wallets. And I think we need to discuss.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
because it looks like GetAlbi is out of the custodial wallet business.
Can you explain? Please explain what's going on with that, because I don't understand.
Okay,
I thought that there was there was still an onboarding path through the 2.0 apps, and is that now gone too?
That's going away. That is going away. That's my understanding. But maybe even more importantly is there's also really no path for someone to easily set up a wallet if you're a podcaster or a musician. And so the Costello said is like, but you know, we're only really able to onboard people into Fountain. And Fountain, although it's great, you know, to onboard your feed, regardless of what your enclosure is, it's confusing. You know, you want to make things relatively easy. And so they've really been struggling on, Okay. So the boardroom is saying, if you can still send people an invite, they're getting out of the business. That's my understanding. They're getting out of the business, and they will still work with your own node if you want to, you know, use Nostra Wallet Connect. I mean, it's all stuff that's way too complicated,
right?
For an onboarding. Now there's two sides to this. So let's start first with the easy side, which is the app side. There are many options now to onboard people into wallets in your app, and the one that is the most obvious to me is the Breeze SDK. And by the way, I warned everybody this was going to happen. We all got real complacent and like, oh, Albie's working. And then all of a sudden, whether Albie doesn't work or it's a centralized thing, you know, it's like, and this is why Lightning service providers have come into existence, which is what Breeze's business model has always been. I think Voltage is also trying to set this up, because the whole point of a Lightning service provider, and I've been reading through the Breeze SDK docs, is you really don't need to do much. You know, you don't have to think about, as a developer, you don't have to think about liquidity or channels. All that just kind of magically appears for a fee, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it really, and I'm seeing testimonials of people saying, hey, I onboarded 100,000 customers through this with just a couple of lines of code. So that sounds optimistic to me, but I think we need to have our both our, well, definitely our apps need to look at other onboarding opportunities, because I think it's, if it's not already shut down, it's going to, Albie is not going to be a solution for us. And so I had some back channel conversations, which I don't like, but in this case, the thing was good because, you know, so we didn't have like a whole back and forth thread on the social.
Sometimes that's just faster and easier.
It is faster in that way. You can't even get a new wallet through Podverse. You know, if you just jump on, just start using it. So if app developers are interested in continuing value for value, some work will be required.
Yeah. I feel a need to help developers with this.
Well, me too.
You know, I don't, but I don't know what path to take is the issue. I mean,
here's one thing we can do. Regardless of how you set stuff up, it seems like the one problem is always liquidity. So the index can help with that. You know, sure. if you need liquidity and whatever your setup is. But I feel like these SDKs, there's a couple of them now, that they are the solution, because all you have to do is just integrate the S. I mean, hello, this is me, Adam, the developer. All you got to do is just put the SDK in there and it works. But I think that is truly the way forward, so you don't have to worry about it as a developer. Now, on the other side, on the podcast hosting side, there's other, this is more of a path, because I think the Breeze SDK, I don't think that's intended for a hosting company. I mean, it's something you jam into your apps, right?
Yeah. So you're going to have, you need a wallet on both sides. You need a podcaster wallet and you need a listener wallet.
Yeah.
That's the issue. So the listener wallet is going to be the one that gets the most direct hit from this.
Yes. Off the bat, yes.
Right, because there's just not going to be one available to pick up unless you know, because the wallet needs to be on the listener side. So it's on the podcaster side, the wallet is a much easier thing to handle, because all you just need a wallet that can handle KeySend and you're done. On the podcaster side, on the listener side, it's harder because the wallet needs to integrate with the podcast app.
Yeah.
Because the podcast app needs to be triggering events within the wallet.
Yes.
So that is that's a more difficult problem to solve. And that's why Albie was good, because there was because it had an API and all that. I mean, like, I guess the ideal solution would be that there's an Albie compatible API.
Yes.
Basically a clone of the Albie API.
I mean, this is exactly why we had LNPay running.
Yes.
And then we shut it down, and then here we go.
Well, no, I mean, Tim shut it down.
Yes. Well, okay. Yes. Tim shut it down. Correct.
Yeah. So if there's an Albie API clone that somebody can layer in front of LN bits or something like that.
Well, so this, as I went searching for solutions, and this may be where some developers can help, I found that a KeySend implementation for LN bits was actually created 2 years ago, has been reviewed as recently as a couple weeks ago. But it needs, two official reviewers. I actually put the link into the show notes. It needs two, I don't know how GitHub works, but it needs some reviewers, or maybe we need to fork this. Because here's what I'm thinking, Dave. I'm thinking, I'm fine setting up a node for this and providing these wallets. I mean, at this point, I don't care. I just want it to work. you know, and LM Bits is actually a very, very beautiful system because you get a lot of, you know, it has a lot of, just as a wallet itself, there's a lot of things you can do, but it will also, you know, pretty much work the same way that Albi will work.
This is a strange situation. I mean, I'm just kind of stepping back and looking at this for a minute. It's sort of an odd situation because you have, at the same time that you have Lightning being implemented on more and more platforms, I mean, Coinbase is putting in Lightning, PayPal's putting in Lightning, Stripe is putting in Bitcoin Pay. Like, there's been a lot of adoption that is happening very quickly in response to the increase in regulatory clarity and ETF acceptance from the SEC and these kind of things. So payment platforms are becoming and exchange platforms are becoming more comfortable with Bitcoin and Lightning. And then you have the players that provide Lightning wallets are just pulling back, like Albi, who's the Phoenix wallet. They're pulling back, and maybe it's because they don't feel like they have the chops to comply with the new regulatory clarity.
Well, as I read the legislation that passed the House, of course, still has to pass the Senate and get a, you know, a sign off from the president. It really says like, oh, you can do all this. You know, if you're passed through, you know, custodial, if it's, obviously non-custodial wallets, all of that's going to be okay. They really want to stimulate the development of this in the United States. It seems like it's all very good. But remember, Albi is German. The other guys are French. You know, so I think that's where there's some fear. And I understand that. I'm not mad about it. I'm mad that we have solutions. There's another thing that's in play here. It's this Noster mania. Everybody is doing Noster, 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 Noster. And they're just like, I don't care about Keysend.
You're building a social, you're wasting your time building a social network that nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants that. Just stop. Stop building the Noster social network. It's silly.
Mm.
Nobody wants it. Everybody has plenty of social network already in their life. Everybody who's on Noster is also on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need two things? It's just nobody wants this crap. Just stop it because it's eating up everybody's developer cycles and they're just spending all of this time on this complete waste. Like, it's starting to get really irritating because there's real problems like this one that need to be solved. Like there's real like Lightning implementation dead ends. There are dead ends all over Lightning, and everybody is these developers that are focused on Noster. They're good developers.
Mm-hmm.
These are good programmers. They could be solving real problems instead of wasting their time with this junk. That is just silliness. It's complete silliness. And it's again another example of the Bitcoin ecosystem tending to just like they get going super fast and then they just drive off a cliff.
Mm.
Like they completely miss all of the signs and just drive completely off a cliff. Like, you know, one of the reasons I was saying that earlier about there's all these platforms are putting in support for Bitcoin and Lightning is that it is easier now to onboard people than it's ever been.
Yeah.
If they had a wallet.
Yeah.
That's and Lightning wallets are like super simple. If there was enough people working on this, gosh, this would be solved so fast.
So that's why I'm like, thinking, you know, we might have to solve it. I mean,
I know I'm feeling that way too.
I mean, let's fork LM Bits and fix it and make it work.
Well, see, you know, here's what I would love. And I'm just going to say, And yeah, this is a little bit of dreaming, but I want to say it out loud too, though, because it may not be totally out of the question. I mean, ideally to me, somebody there would be a bigger player that could handle this sort of thing, like Strike.
Forget it. Strike, they are doing, they're, okay, I'm just going to say Strike's not going to do it. I'm going to tell you right now. How many times we've pitched a lot of people in the past 3.5-4 years. Some work, some don't. Jack Mahlers is not gonna, he's now selling Bitcoin and ETH and Monero, and he's gonna go public. He's gonna be the next Coinbase. He's doing a reverse Coinbase. Coinbase is finally delivering with Lightning. He's gone from Lightning, is gonna become a Coinbase. It's so obvious to me. And by the way, he comes from the fiat world. He's a nice guy. Nice kid, but his parents are fiat. They're the Chicago commodities gang. It's all fine, but I'm not putting any trust in that. Yeah, he's not going to do it.
It makes you think that so I was having this thought this morning, actually. As Bitcoin develops into just sort of a standard piece of collateral or, standard commodity, standard asset, standard collateral with, it just becomes a thing. And that's what's happening right now. Bitcoin has outgrown the sort of people that shepherded it initially. It has outgrown that. It kind of no longer needs what you might call the maxis or that community. Mm-hmm. It's just a bigger thing. And because of that, like those people don't know what to do. There's no real reason for them to be out there, pumping Bitcoin all the time. And they're doing silly stuff on the side. And, I think at this point though, that these things, like I feel like we could do something, without having to bother with a bunch of, the LNURL mafia throwing shade and this kind of thing. Like, I feel like we could do a thing, because I feel like this is just sort of this ecosystem is grown up now.
And it's a business thing, Dave. I'm happy to do it, man. I mean, first of all, we've got almost 2 Bitcoin on our own node, so we can provide liquidity. We have a lot of income. This is a mature node. Our node has grown up.
It's so big.
It's a mature node. We can put whatever we want on top of it. We have great support from Voltage. There's many ways we can tackle this, but there's really two things. And, there's also a little bit of the, Fountain has VC money. It doesn't take VC money. It takes elbow grease to do this. For the apps, there's some very clear, very well-tested solutions. And the green light Breeze SDK is an obvious solution, and you can implement it and you don't have to think about it. Wallets are spun up on the fly when your customers need them. I mean, it will, and it comes down to, are the apps interested in continuing with value for value, or do they just want to hand it all over to one or two players? That's what it comes down to. On the podcaster side, that's something I feel you and I probably should be doing, because it's just there. I mean, even if,
wait, on the podcaster side or the listener side?
Podcaster side.
Because the listener side is where the real problem is.
It's both sides. The only onboarding path for podcasters is Fountain.
Yeah. But see, you can have, you could like, so here's the disconnect, though. The podcaster side.
This is exactly the problem that the Costellos are struggling with. Because they're trying to onboard musicians. By the way, the people who have it figured out are the horrible, 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 evil people at Wavelake. They figured it out. They're a hosting company with wallets.
Right.
That's what the hosting company, that's what I said to in some of the back channels, like, hey, if you have a problem onboarding artists because you have to send them to Fountain to get a wallet and that's complicated, it's your business. You should be providing that.
Well, the issue, so you got Fountain and you've got Wavelake. You got two places you can onboard a podcaster.
Yes. Well, but for music.
For music. Well, no, I mean, even Wavelake also does.
They do podcast hosting?
Podcast hosting, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
I mean, but you could go and, but there's lots of things. I mean, you can set up your own note. I know it's not easy. You can set up your own note or whatever, but the podcaster side, that's what that looks like. There are solutions. They may suck, but there are solutions like setting up your own node. The listener side with the losing of Albie is just a complete dead end.
Yes.
What I'm saying is the listener side is where the supply is, like the supply of funds.
I'm with you.
That is a complete wasteland at this point. So if you like the solution really has to start with listener wallets before podcaster wallets. Because you can have tons of podcaster wallets, but if nobody can pay you, then what good is it? You know, if there's no listeners with podcast wallets.
Here's what Music Mama says in the boardroom. I've spoken to Albie. It's a general fear of the regulators, not worth the risk long term for them. They will stay in the game. They are not going away. They just will be going to a node in the phone approach, and you must set up a 100,000 sat channel to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. People won't do it. It's $50. You know, people aren't going to say, oh, here's $50. I'm now a podcaster. I'm now a musician.
Right. And I'll just be honest with you, Adam. I mean, if you're talking about handling, you know, funds and all this kind of stuff to this degree, then I don't see where you're going to have intermediaries.
Right.
Then I don't see what the difference is, but why you would even use Bitcoin.
You good start point. Using
fiat.
Good point.
Because if we're going to have to set up something where there's wallets and we're moving funds and all this kind of stuff around, I mean, what's the point?
I'm with you.
Just set up, do escrowed, escrowed fiat wallets and just be a money mover. That's the problem with the Lightning ecosystem right now is they're over there doing Taro and Nostr and the original promise of Lightning is just dead. It's totally dead. And it's like, I don't know what to do about it.
Well,
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer.
I'm with you. Well, let's separate out the issues for a second. First of all, because Music Mama's looking from Music Mama's camp. So on the onboarding side for podcasters / music, that type of solution needs to come from the hosting companies. And we can certainly help bootstrap it by providing liquidity to people because we have enough. So we can help bootstrap it, but ultimately it's going to be specific Lightning service providers that are going to have to be in that game for channel opens and closes and all that stuff.
Like, okay, if you go back to the beginning and you look at why we did this to begin with, it was for two reasons. Because programmable money allows you to send people small amounts of money without the crazy fees.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fee thing, but the bigger issue was deplatforming. So that you have a direct relationship from the listener to the podcaster with zero intermediaries.
Yeah.
And like, so if I'm hosting a show on, if I'm hosting a podcast and all my advertisers bail out on me because I took a position against a war or something that was not, you know, that was not kosher, then, and I lost all my money, then I would still have this other income stream that was not sort of blockable.
Yeah. Or if you got the platform from PayPal or Stripe or something like that. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was the point. If we have to start putting up intermediaries all over the place, then.
Right. But a Lightning service provider is not really an intermediary because it's not a custodial thing. It's self-custody.
Mm-hmm.
The Lightning service provider just provides the piping. Right. So it's no different than having a node at Voltage, unless you want to call that an intermediary.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
That's exactly what Breeze does. You don't even have to open a channel. You just need to get your first payment. Then you get your first payment. They open a channel plus 50,000 sats of whatever that first payment was. Mm-hmm. And the channels grow and shrink as necessary. But it does require some development work.
Mm-hmm. It does. No, it does. Yeah. It requires work. And Rando 64636 says Brian of London sats over Hive seems promising. I mean, yeah, Brian of London's building stuff.
Yeah. That may he's be a way to go.
He's building a replacement to Albi.
Is he doing a drop in replacement with the API?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to him about it. I don't think he is, mm-hmm. but he may be able to.
Yeah. But we just need more solutions. We need more solutions. Yeah. And this Nostra Wallet Connect, I've looked at it over and over and over again. I can't see making it work. And then, you know, there's people saying, well, why don't we just switch to LN URL? Well, we looked at that. We looked at that early on. That's just not going to fly.
Well, I don't see. We've talked about the problems with that in the past with the, slowness and the difficulty on the edge node. On an edge application, but I mean, regardless of that, I still don't see how that helps because your LN URL. I mean, you still have a wallet on both sides.
Yes. Now the reason why it's so called helps is because that's what everybody's doing. All the development is moving towards LN URL and Nostra Wallet Connect, and everyone's supporting it. But they're supporting themselves into a hole of doom.
Yeah, but all that stuff works fine for the podcaster wallet. The listener wallet?
Yeah.
None of that helps.
No, but there's a solution. There's a solution right there today. It does key send and it can work. You can implement it. I don't believe there's any costs except for Breeze takes a piece for the setup.
Let's have to look at it. Have to get back in there and look at the, it's a gut punch when you think some of these things are solved problems and then they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, I guess it wasn't a solved problem.
Well, no, but I also think it's are people really in it? I use Podcast Guru and I still have an Albi wallet, so that works great. Sometimes I switch to Podverse, sometimes I use a Fountain. But if people aren't in it, then they won't support it. And then, then it's all going to go to a couple of players.
Right.
Which is fine. I know what I'll be promoting. Because I believe in it. I believe in it, Dave.
I believe in
On that note, on an up note, The Bands and Bitcoin 24 Nashville is, it will be held around the same time as the Bitcoin conference. Mm-hmm. It'll be, let me see. Oh, it'd be at the, they have a Embassy Suites, who have generously donated space and service staff to Phantom Power Media. And they're going to be hosting just a ton of bands, and they're going to set all of the bands up with wallets somehow. They may be fountain wallets, but they'll set them up with something somehow. And it's going, they're going to do just these live shows, and I'm pretty sure they're set to go with a live stream, which will switch the value blocks as they go. Mm-hmm. What I would like to appeal to Eric PP, I don't know if he can do it, but I'd like to appeal to Eric PP if there could be a helipad version. This is what I'd be looking at. A helipad version that can display everything that it does now, because I love how it looks, how it comes through. With the live stream, so just a page you can send people to, and there it is, you know, so there'd be a split to this one node, and this one page just displays all the boostergrams that come in with the live, because it'll be video, live audio and or video, so that people can be sent to a page to be a part of the Bands and Bitcoin by remote, so obviously in all the apps for sure. Because it'll be a feed, so it's in all the apps. But then this one page, you know, like the guys are always doing, like these crazy pages that that Boobery did for 12 Rods. You know, a page where you can see stuff happening. I don't care if it's who does it, but someone needs to do that.
Yeah.
And then that'll be the same page they'll display in the venue on screens. So people can get a real experience of the round robin of... You know, it'll say, you know, use these apps to participate, to boost, etc. That needs to be created.
Can I add? I would like to add something to this. This is the Costellas that are putting this on. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me add something to that. Part of this event needs to be a explanation of the problem that we just talked about, or sort of an appeal to Bitcoin developers who see the vision for music, and by virtue of that podcast as well. So an appeal through this event that this is only things like that event are only possible and only work and are only successful when there are listener side wallet solutions.
Yes.
And because of that, there needs to be more people jumping in that game. I mean, that's because I feel like, cause what'll happen, the reason is good to have an appeal at a place in an event like that is because if there are no listener side wallets,
there's no
event,
right? There's no
system. The event doesn't work. Right. There's just simply no event,
right?
Because there's nobody to pay you. So like that's here's what I'm leaning on though. Like where my mind keeps shifting is that there has to be, we have to get some success. Let me see how I want to explain this. I'm perfectly happy to build something, but we can't build everything.
Yes, we can, Dave.
Yes, we can. but we can't, you know, we can't build everything. And the ideal thing that would happen here is that some Bitcoin competent developers get peeled away from
Nostr.
The Nostr senselessness.
Yes.
And begin to provide, to build an actual solution that people really care about, that can actually solve a problem.
Right.
So, I mean, like, this is probably the Fountain also benefits from there being an ecosystem of Lightning infrastructure, podcasting infrastructure outside of it.
Of course it does.
Like, if Fountain becomes the only place this stuff is happening, Fountain will be less successful. That's not going to help them either.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, Fountain, Wavelake, everybody that, like, the, and I use them as examples of sort of, I'm not silos. That's not what I mean, but like, sort of islands that are, that have built something that can be self-contained if necessary. That does, while that does work, it's not beneficial. It is not a healthy ecosystem for them to exist that way. They also benefit when there's a healthy ecosystem of Lightning payments going back and forth through the podcasting, through open podcasting. And so this is a thing that we all need to happen.
And I would point to, on one hand, for podcasters, I would point to Wavelake as a successful formula. They take 10%.
Yeah.
No one seems to be complaining. You know, it's simple. I got it. I got my hosting. We got everything all in one go.
Because as we said before, your alternative is Spotify, where you get 0%.
Right.
Yes. So if you're a musician and you get 90%, that's 90% more than you had before.
Exactly. And but you're right. Everybody, we need much more going on. And it just has to be simple. It has to be simple to onboard people, because we're a long way away from people setting up nodes and liquidity. There's just no way. There's no way.
If you're a podcaster and you see that you are a musician and you see that you can have some success within the podcasting world as a, let's say, a musician like Ainsley, it's not too big of a lift to set up a node. It's not the end of the world. Yes, it's a little difficult, but it's not the end of the world. But if you're a listener in the app,
it's world ending. Yes, that's obviously yes.
Yeah, you're just
even
just done.
Even
you're
going done. Somewhere else to get a wallet and connect it is a big lift.
Yes,
like, what am I doing now?
Yeah, exactly. Because now you're having to, like, on the podcaster side, you just set up a node, open a channel, you're good to go. On the listener side, what do you got to KYC yourself? You got to do all this stuff. I mean, it's just. I'm not going to keep beating this horse, but the listener side is where all the problems are. And I will. I'm glad we discussed this. I will start looking and brainstorming this. For a potential solution, we'll talk about it. I don't think it's realistic for us to have to build, for us to be able to build and maintain everything. Because the other problem here's the other issue. When we build it, it tends to dissuade other people from building things.
Good point.
You know, I mean, like, it's almost detrimental to the ecosystem when we build it. I don't want that to happen either.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Well, I've looked at the docs over and over again of the Breeze SDK. It seems like a very elegant solution, but it's not a drop-in replacement. I don't think it's a huge lift, but there's work is required.
Mm.
But, you know, it's something that is self custody of your user. You know, they own it. You don't have any responsibility over it, and you don't have to worry much about it not working. I mean, they've been in business for a long time.
Yeah.
And there's others who are either doing this or will be doing this because it's the business model for Lightning, is the Lightning service provider. Mm-hmm. It just is the business model.
I mean, it is, Nathan asked, is the Breeze SDK, is that mobile only?
I believe so. I don't think so. No, I believe so. I think it is.
Is it?
I think so. But Block has their own version. There's lots of versions out there of this idea, of the Lightning service provider idea. Mm. And it has been my understanding that that's what Voltage was going to be doing as well. I don't think they're as far along. And they were going to be doing it more for their Flow product or whatever. So you can just get inbound liquidity on demand. But again, that's probably not going to work for the listener side. But I'm with you on that. There's a huge opportunity for the listener side. Make it easy for apps to integrate, or at least make something available, and the apps will put it in if they're interested in being part of the ecosystem.
The other problem with us doing it is I don't like the way it looks.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm with you.
Because it makes it look like it's like all of this is just us. And I don't know. I just like the separation of seeing that other people are doing stuff and making money off these things. And it's not, it's not us, you know?
Yeah. Well, but again,
I don't want to make money off of this because it's not, if we have to, but I don't want to do it.
You're so right, because the whole reason we kept LNPay going, because the index paid for it, was to make sure that we bootstrapped it, and then everyone just went, oh great, and then no one built anything.
Yes, that's what the summer says. It's Wave Lakey for PI to offer wallets and the index and the namespace.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I agree.
But we could build something as a reference, I guess, and mm-hmm. then say, okay, we're not somebody here. Somebody else, please run this, I guess. And I don't know. I should think about it.
Yeah. All right. We'll think about it. Well, shall we play a song now just to get our heads clear?
Oh, yeah. Straight up. All right. Is this the world premiere?
It's not just world premiere. It's planetary premiere, my friend. It's
galactic
premiere. But I want everyone to get ready. I really would appreciate it if you boosted this song. No matter what the amount is, we just want as many boosts as possible. I'm actually going to close the channel so it doesn't interrupt the track. So we can show these musicians who are making nothing on Spotify that value for value has a place in their life. Did I set that up right?
Oh, you nailed it.
Okay. So here it is. People Pleaser, Ainsley Costello. This is the planetary premiere, everybody.
If it was what you liked, I'd do it. If I'm a people pleaser going down. stretching myself for a man's gonna stand. If you're gonna be with me, please me, please me, please me. I'm not gonna ask nicely. Please me, please me, please me. If you're gonna be with me, please me, please me, please me.
Yo!
Nice.
That's what we call an ending.
That was sudden.
All right. Thank you all very, very much.
I guess people were pleased and the job was done.
Yes. People were pleased and everybody boosted. I even boosted. Everybody boosted. Everybody boosted. Good job, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. That's Ainsley with the Nashville Collaborators. Let's make them happy. If you're listening to this as the podcast, you can always stop, go back and boost again. It all works. It's magic that way. It's magic.
That's a good track. I like it.
No, it's a great track. It's poppy, man.
It's good to hear a new Ainsley track.
It is. Yes, it is indeed.
It's been a while.
My left ear kind of blew out. Hold on.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
It blew out. Is it smoking?
No, it's like it happens. When you get to my age, Dave, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Do you get the high-pitched squeal?
No, and then thank God. Okay. No, thank God. I don't. Although at night when I'm in bed, I do hear, just like general.
What's that from?
No, it's age.
Oh, being an old dude?
Yeah, just an old. By the way, the bands in Bitcoin, they also have, I put it in the show notes, they have a Geyser fundraiser. I also boosted that. Before, because they, obviously it costs money, so they're looking for help on setting up that event. So and that's all in the bands of Bitcoin. Yep. I did it. I actually used Breeze. It worked beautifully. So we had a big win today or this week with the Pocket Casts.
Yeah, I saw that. Said they were going to support Transcript and Podroll.
Well, as I was listening to the Pod News Weekly Review, I actually heard the young woman, what's her name? Because we pitched this to them 2 years ago. We pitched to Matt.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
And she referred to that. She says, we knew about this 2 years ago because I remember you and I did a Zoom with Matt. And then Matt from Automatic, they own Pocket Cast. And we pitched it. And I think I followed up with Matt. And then we got another, we talked to the project leads. And they've started to implement. They're a small team, but they started to implement. But as I heard her speaking, I heard her slip in V for V.
Oh, wait.
She said V for V. So...
I didn't hear that. I must have missed that.
Yeah. I heard it. But this is great. This is a great game changer for podcasting to have an app of that size to validate that it's a real thing. It lifts all boats. Very, very happy. Very happy with that.
Agreed. And they are ones that could, the thing I want most from Pocket Casts specifically is cross-app comments over ActivityPub.
Yes.
I think they are positioned better than anybody else to make that happen.
Yes.
Because Automatic bought...
Yeah, they're all in on ActivityPub, right?
ActivityPub, yeah. They bought that WordPress ActivityPub plugin so they could integrate it directly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think they have definitely the resources to go in and put... ActivityPub into a app like Pocket Cast.
And on that note, true fans Sam and Benjamin at Castapod, they're working on integrating their activity streams through ActivityPub, which is great.
You know, a clever podcast app.
Only the clever ones now.
Could simply follow podcasts on the bridge and always be up to date.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You could have a podcast app that built ActivityPub into its core.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you follow podcasts, it's using the index to do a search, and then instead of using the API to pull more data, it could subscribe to the podcast feed, obviously like normal, but then look for updates through ActivityPub, wait for the pushes, basically that you would have one, you would have a simple back end, a little $5 a month back end that
just sits there and
does
sniffs,
nothing
a sniffer,
but follow.
Well, a sniffer.
It just sniff. No, it's not even sniffing. There's not even any sniffing. It opens up a shared inbox. It has a shared inbox URL through ActivityPub, and then it follows and it treats each of its users as an actor. Do you hear that chicken?
Yeah, actually, I just took my headphone off. Is that on my end? What do I have? No, they're your chicks, baby. It's Dave's chicks.
These chickens are going nuts. I sent you a picture of them in the bucket. So you would have each listener would be an actor on your ActivityPub backend, and as when somebody follows a podcast, it follows the bridge for that podcast, and then it just waits to be notified when there's a new episode.
By the way,
and you just push it all the way through.
Your chicks are cute. What's the bowl with the rocks in it? What's that all about?
Well, since they're so tiny that they'll drown in the bowl. Yeah, you gotta put some rocks in so they can't go to the bottom.
Have you already found one dead?
No dead ones yet.
What's the vacuum hose there?
Is that
the heater?
That's one of the legs of the heater. It's like threaded rods with a little heat pad.
That's
that
cool.
You can raise and lower.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
cool. Oh, they're so cute. They're so.
They're
cute.
All up under that heat thing right now. I can't see any of them. They're just yeah.
Do you mind if I post this in the board meeting, in the boardroom?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, that's cool.
I want people to be able to see this.
But, you know, you could do that. You could build your app with an ActivityPub core and then not have to really do any feed polling at all.
Mm-hmm.
Period. None. And then you're already set up for cross-app comments.
I love it. But I love it. Only clever.
Only if you're clever.
Only if you're clever. Only if you're clever.
Yes.
I have a namespace question that make sure, because if it doesn't do it, we need to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
So I've been working on this project to return local radio to this all kind of comes from a couple of things. One is the Cumulus Media 2024 Audioscope data that Pod News reported on.
I missed that. I didn't see that.
Well, it basically says radio's dead. Okay. It's not exactly what it says, but it does say podcast audiences have scale among 25 to 54s, which is very important because the concept that only young people listen to podcasts is clearly not true.
Right.
So up to 54 is not in the young person range.
No, us old dudes. Yeah.
If you listen to podcasts, they are your number one audio platform. You know, so podcast people who listen to podcasts, and that number is increasing. Listen to 32% of their listening time as podcast. 22% is AM or FM radio. The median age of podcast audience is about 34, which is actually quite good. Now, here's the one that kind of I think is interesting because it's happening to all traditional media distribution platforms. The podcast audience is 13 years younger than the median age of AM/FM radio listeners and 22 years younger than linear television, where audiences have a median age of 56. TV is what's playing in God's waiting room. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That, did you see the average? Did you see that? I don't know if this is the same report. I don't think it is. That listed the average age of viewers.
Yeah.
MTV, 50, the average age is 57. 50.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's median age, not average age. Median age. But
average age. The median age of an MSNBC viewer was like 70.
70. Yeah. Yeah. I know. So it comes on. So I believe that. You can't save radio with towers, but what we lost with radio is local programming. Now, why did local program? So, you know, even New York, I mean, I was in New York for many years, and whether it's Elvis Duran on Z100 or if it's the Charlemagne the God, and he's on, is he on, can't remember what he's on. But, you know, they're not New York local shows anymore. They're syndicated nationally. Yeah, sure. In between songs. Yeah, it's Elvis Duran's U100, New York. Okay, sure. But they're no longer talking just about, it's all national issues. And we still have some, like Cody, who works in Kerrville, which is, you know, old school rock station, the Rock of Texas. You know, small signal. We have Hill Country FM out here, but they're dying. And why are they dying? Because all the local advertising has been slurped up by Facebook, and it's successful. You know, if you want to sell something locally, it's going to be it's going to be done on Facebook and stuff like that. But we still need local programming. In fact, we need it now more than ever. So my kind of this thing I'm working on with some people is to recreate that, to bring back local programming. And this is where that playlist thing that I was talking about 2 or 3 weeks ago comes into play. And I just want to make sure I understand how the playlists work, because I think I'm incorrect, or my assumptions were wrong.
Okay.
But what I'd like to see, if I have a playlist and I put in that playlist, can I put in that playlist shows, or can I only put episodes in that playlist?
Episodes.
Ah. What I think I'm looking for is what an OPML subscription list used to do.
Okay.
So if
let me get back. Hang on a second. The remote item allows either a feed or an episode to be.
It does allow a feed,
right?
Okay, so it
does allow a feed, but it's the context that matters that dictates what those things are. But a playlist is expecting items.
Okay, let me explain what I want.
Okay,
then we'll figure out how we make it happen, because it's important to me.
Okay,
so I'm just going. That means I'm just going to be hammering on it. What I want is I want to be able to say, I want to subscribe to Adam Curry's station. And I can go into a podcast app and I can look for Adam Curry's station, and it'll be something I can subscribe to. And that station may include, similar to a pod roll, the 5 shows that I think are great. But when you subscribe to my station, you will get the most recent episode from those 5 shows that I think are great.
Okay.
Do we have something that does that now?
Okay, so WKRB, and you're going to be searching for that state, you know, that local station in your podcast app.
Yes.
And then when you find it, you're going to subscribe to it.
Yes.
And what you're going to get is a list of each episode is a program in their programming lineup. The last in reverse chronological order.
Yes, correct.
From the most recent to the oldest.
Correct. And then I'd also like to take a percentage of that as my radio station on the B4B.
Off the cuff, that's just a feed. I mean, that's just a podcast feed.
Yes, it's a podcast. It's a dynamic podcast feed.
Right. Right. Yeah. Which is not a problem. We did that with 100% Retro. Because 100% retro was live. You know, we were updating it every. I think it was every time the programming grid changed to the next.
Okay. Yeah.
We updated the feed.
All right, but it's not a linear radio station. It's not a stream. It's not a linear radio station. It's literally so as a part of my syndication. I'm going to be promoting. Adam's local station. But I'm going to put up billboards. And I'm going to say, go to your podcast app, your modern podcast app, and subscribe to my station, because I have the best programs. And I'll probably have my podcast in there, but I'll also have five others that I think are, and hopefully I have a relationship with them, but that I think are these great podcasts. So when you subscribe, you're actually subscribing to the podcasts that I recommend, but they're all appearing under my feed, my station feed. And what you're seeing is the most recent episode. That's why I say it was like an OPML. When you subscribe to an OPML, that's how that would work.
Okay, so what you want to happen is I search for WADM.
Yes, thank you.
I find it, and inside that feed is a list of are references to other feeds.
Yes, and therefore when I subscribe to it, so just like you subscribe to Podcasting 2.0, and you click on the Podcasting 2.0 podcast in your podcast list, there's a list of episodes. Now you're subscribing to KADAM. And then right. What you see in the episodes is the most recent episodes, reverse chronologic order of those feeds that I have referenced.
Referenced feeds, yes, yeah. Yes. So it's following the trail for each feed and getting the most recent and then sorting them all by chronological. Yes,
and then for extra bonus points, I want to make my station, KADM, that I produce, I want to make that sticky at the top. So my most recent episode is always at the top.
Yeah, this is all just programmatic feed generation stuff. Like, so is there a reason why you're wanting, couple of things. Is there a reason to do this app side rather than back end side and just serve the generated feed?
No, back end side is perfect. I was just a little confused because we had publisher feeds playlists. I'm now that we're talking about it, I love you so much, Dave Jones. Now that we're talking about it, it's just a back end generation.
I think so.
Perfect. That's even better. That's the best. Yay! I love it. I love it.
Like there can be a feed, like a publisher feed. Like yeah, this would be you could create a publisher feed or a playlist of feeds.
But here's the trick now. Here's the trick.
Okay. All right.
The trick is when you subscribe to KADM, my feed, and you listen to one of the episodes, I want a piece of the split, and then I want the remote item of that episode to flow through. Does that make sense? So just like Podcasting 2.0, we take 5% when we play Ainsley, and the rest is all split however she determines.
Right. So you're wanting KADM gets a percentage and the rest goes to the source feed.
Yes, correct.
Honestly the best way to do that is just with back end feed generation.
Perfect. Perfect. You've solved my problem.
The back end ingests the playlist and then assembles a feed in dynamically every few minutes or however long, many times that takes, it assembles a feed with the proper value recipients and all this stuff in it.
Yes. Yes.
So that the app doesn't have to do a ton of work.
Yes. The app just does what it does already.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then there's just central list. So there would just need to be some server that is doing all this feed generation and either hosting it centrally or farming it back out so that the stations can host them themselves.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah, yes.
All right, Meg.
I'm very happy about that. I'm tasking myself with creating 1,000 local stations in America.
Nathan's right. KADM would be a feed filled with items pointing to third-party hosted enclosures, but includes a value time spent giving the station a cut. Yes.
That's it. That's it.
And which is basically exactly what we did for 100% retro.
Okay. That's it. I've got it. I'm done. I'm happy. I am a super happy man because we don't have to change anything.
The only thing that has to happen here are the local stations need to figure out their playlists.
Yes, exactly. By the way, Alan Marcus, yes, he says, sounds like a man who just got back from K-Love. Yep, you're right. You're right. It's exactly right. Exactly right. That's oh, that's perfect. That is perfect. Ah, oh, makes me happy.
That doesn't, that doesn't sound like a difficult project.
I did want to mention, just because I love the guy so much, this guy, Fernando, he has made this Pod Mobile product, I should say. Pod Mobile, I think, is it Pod Mobile?
Fernando.
Is that, what did I say? Did I say Fernando?
Yeah.
Pod Mobile, let me see. It's at, what's it at? It's at.
Did he send us email?
No, I've been talking to him ever since, for about a year now. It's audiosigma.com. And he has made a device which...
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Okay.
I've been testing, because now he's moved it to with a DSP, so it's digital signal processing. Mm-hmm. And this is a device that you just plug in a mic, you plug it into your phone, or you plug it into your computer, and it just works. And the sound of this thing... is Adam Curry approved? He has this he calls it a denoiser. So you literally just crack your mic. You don't talk. You press the button until the back. It's kind of a noise gate filter all in one. Mm-hmm. And the preamps on this thing are just like delicious. They're delicious. And you could mix in your. Your computer or your phone audio, and you can also use it with someone on remote. You know, so it's got a loopback interface. It's dynamite. And
is this Rodecaster Pro replaceable?
It depends on what you're doing. I think so. Yes. Rodecaster Duo replaceable, I would say, because he has a single mic version as well, which is the Mic Hero, I think it's called.
Yes.
But you know, so you'd have to have your, if you do sound effects and stuff, you have to have a soundboard, something that's on your computer or on your phone. But it's powered by USB. You don't even have to plug it in. I've tested it, and I've had three generation of units here, and this thing is just, it is amazing.
This really is the what was that device that you
the Castmaster Probe. This is what I was trying to build back in the day, you know, when I was coming out at Rodecaster prices. It was just too expensive and was complicated, but he solved a lot with this, and it's just a dynamite device.
I mean, $289 for a single mic, that's pretty doable.
Yeah. It is. And he's done a lot of smart things. So if you scroll down, you see the back, those are touch buttons. So it's capacitive buttons. It's not actually a physical button, but you touch it and you adjust the LED turns different colors for your equalizer, your denoise. It's sick is the right word. It's an amazing device. And this guy, he's from, I think, Brazil, came to America with $100 in his pocket. He's just been grinding away at some job, and he's been building these in his spare time. I'm so proud of him. He's really doing something beautiful.
And he's the engineer?
Yeah, he's everything. He's marketing. Wow. He's he's everything. Yeah, the Mic Hero DSP. That's the one. That's the single mic version.
Does he know how to create Albi wallets?
You don't know. He's Fernando.
I need to have a call with Fernando.
I'll make sure it's Fernando. No, why am I thinking it's Francisco?
Yeah, it's Fernando. I saw his name.
Yeah, it's Fernando, right? Fernando. Yeah, I don't
want to. Buzzsprout has the, I just want to mention, Buzzsprout has that, they came out with that podcast backup thing.
I don't know what that is. Like, what is that?
It's like you can point their tool at your podcast, and it'll back it up, like back up all the audio and all that kind of stuff just for safekeeping. I heard about that. I just want to mention there's a tool that we built a long time ago called Sucky that'll do the same thing from the command line. So you can just like point it, basically just do Sucky space and then the feed URL, and it'll suck all the enclosures down. If people want to automate, you know, download something and automate a backup to like your own, storage or whatever.
Beautiful. But
there's a bunch of stuff like So much stuff happened the last couple of weeks. Steven Crater added episodes.fm and podcast AP links to the website.
I use episodes.fm all the time. I unfortunately can't use it without an iTunes ID. So I have, which I think he's working on. But man, do I love that. I see a lot of uptake because I just send out the, even when it's the, if it's a live show, I always send out an episodes FM link and people are like, oh, this is great because I can just select my favorite app and then it remembers it, or I can play it right there on the page. It's fantastic. What a smart, smart idea.
Have you seen the podcast AP link?
No, let me see.
So if you go to, you know, just any podcast on podcastindex.org, there's a follow. There's like a little little thing next to the lightning icon where you can click on it and it'll take you to podcast AP to that feed, and you can follow it in Mastodon or whatever your ActivityPub client
cool.
is.
Cool.
Yeah, because we were gonna put this onto the page itself, but I figure, I mean, Steven already built it, so I'm like, we'll just link out to that.
Oh, so he has a. Okay. So there's a episodes.fm link there as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Nice.
So you can click out to either one of those. So
it's like the replacement for the chiclets.
Yeah. Yeah. That keeps us from having to like have all those stupid badges.
Yes. And yes.
Nathan says he's up to 9,500 monthly active users.
I'll bet he is. That's all for me. Man. Yeah. You're welcome. he even used the MAUs. Oh boy.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, you listen to our hate listen. We got to do our hate listen.
Oh, you want to do the hate listen?
Yes, of course. The hate listen was great this week. It's a thin line between love and hate, people.
Yes. Look, where's my clips? Oh, there they are. Okay. I did not have a copy of my own clips to look at. So yeah, I've been reading this book, show in the folder. Let me open this up. 181. There it is. I've been reading this book called, so do you know a guy named Matthew Crawford?
No, can't say that I do.
So he wrote a book called, Shopcraft as Soulcraft.
We've talked about that, I think. This is the guy who, didn't he build a motorcycle or something, or he did something?
Yeah, he's a motorcycle mechanic.
Yes, I know about him, sure.
Sort of a motorcycle mechanic turned philosopher type. I think he was a journalist and stuff in the past, too. I'm not sure. I don't know all of his history. But he wrote, Shopcraft as Soulcraft is his big work. But he also wrote a book called Why We Drive, which is it's a car book. He's a gearhead, so this is a car book. But I was reading him, and I was reading this book, Why We Drive, currently. And a couple of days ago, he said this. He said futurism, which I like this term futurism. Cause it's got a, you know, you can't really say that word without it being a little bit tongue in cheek. Like, you know, these guys, you know, there's some shadiness there. Futurism is a genre of myth-making that seeks to generate a feeling of inevitability around some desired outcome, a picture that is offered as though it were a prediction. This is a good way to attract investment, and reciprocally, the flow of investment dollars is a good way to attract public speechifiers like journalists, thought leaders, etc., who will lend their voices to the chorus of inevitability. One must accept the future rather than cling to the past, which often means simply accepting the present. What presently exists as perfectly adequate. Do you prefer to wallow in the comfort of self-delusions of nostalgia? I like this description because this perfectly describes... He's talking here about Uber.
Yeah.
And how they're not really a technology company. You know, it always reminds me about when you said that Apple... and Google, these are not really technology companies. They're law firms that make some apps, you know, like that's essentially what he's saying about Uber. He's like, Uber is not, really a technology company. They're a regulatory buster. They're more of a political entity that happens to make a an app to enable their, you know, sort of political and financial means. And, you know, the whole thing is the Uber model is never going to make, it's never going to turn a profit. It's, we all know that, or at least I hope we do. But it also ends up creating, just like Airbnb, it creates tons of sort of like what you want to call supply side bloat. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I think this same thing has happened with Spotify. I read Brian Barletta's article on Spotify's leaving of the IAB. And I think basically Spotify is essentially done the same thing to the podcast industry to a certain degree. You have companies like Uber and Airbnb, which have created tons of supply side bloat.
Yep.
Like fueled by this exit strategy desire combined with political sort of us versus them marketing. I mean, that's the secret to tech industry innovation now.
Yeah, they even had a walled garden at the most recent podcast conference. You literally couldn't come in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because of Airbnb, you have a housing market where most of the houses, or not most, but a humongous percentage of the houses sit empty all the time.
25% of our housing supply in Fredericksburg, Texas is Airbnb.
And I guarantee you at any given time,
they're empty.
A great majority of that is empty.
Mm-hmm, except on weekends. Yep.
Yep. It's literally empty all the time. And he makes the same statement about Uber. He said, most of these Ubers sit empty all the time. That's how they maintain the illusion of tap a button and have a car show up.
Yeah.
Is because most of the time they're empty. They're just sitting doing nothing.
Yep.
It's created this huge bloat. And the same thing is happening in AI. Mm. With
my favorite topic.
Yes. The same thing is happening with AI. And the bloom is starting to come off the rose on the whole thing when you have the hate listen on the media looking at it, a couple of things. What got me is I had read this thing in Why We Drive about this futurism. Futurism is a genre of myth making that seeks to generate a feeling of inevitability around a desired outcome.
Mm.
And then on the media talks, there it is, about inevitability.
All this while technology companies push the public along a path that they and members of the press say is inevitable.
We know that generative AI, the ChatGPTs, the image generators, things like that, are much more computationally intensive than the types of tools that we were using previously. So they require a lot more computing power. And as a result of that, Amazon and Microsoft and Google are in the process of doing a major build out of large hyperscale data centers around the world in order to power what they hope will be this major demand for these generative AI tools into the future. That obviously requires a lot of energy and a lot of water to power it.
I think we have paths now to a massive energy transition away from burning carbon.
And so in this interview in January with Bloomberg, Altman actually directly engaged with that when he was asked about it.
Does this frighten you guys? Because the world hasn't been that versatile when it comes to supply. But AI, as you know, you have pointed out, it's not going to take its time until we start generating enough power.
It motivates us to go invest more in fusion and invest more in new storage.
He said that we're actually going to need an energy breakthrough in nuclear technologies in order to power the vision of AI that he has. He didn't kind of hesitate and say, well, if we don't arrive at it, then maybe we won't be able to roll out this vision of AI that I hope to see, but rather that we're just going to have to power it with other, you know, energy sources, those often being fossil energy sources, and that would require us to geoengineer the planet in order to kind of keep it cooler than it would otherwise be because of all the emissions that we're creating.
The Messiah has spoken.
Yeah. These people are insane.
Yes.
They are insane. What he's saying is we're going to need so much forget Airbnb. Forget the wasted space of Airbnb. Forget the wasted gas and time of Uber. this is going to be so much wasted GPU compute that we're going to need to re-engineer the world's energy systems to be able to handle the massive massive quantities of power needed for Google to tell you that you need to put glue on your pizza. Like that, these people are insane. And they're also this. So
can I just stop you?
Yeah.
Just looking at Sam Altman, just if you remove yourself from a moment from the technology realm, he's acting insane. He's acting like an insane person. Just he next time like he talks, look at him. He acts like he's nuts.
He's got dead eyes.
Yes. Yes.
So this emergent properties idea, it's awesome what they did here because they went back and checked on some of these things that we've been told. And remember, this is all about the tech industry is all about is futurism. It's all about the myth of inevitability. And one way you do that is what he just did by saying, okay, look, this is so crucial to humanity, such a game changer that we're going to have to invent cold fusion or whatever to power these things. And then the other part is, look, this technology is doing things itself. You can't even stop it. Like it's got emergent properties that we don't even understand. So play that clip.
Oh man, I had it so perfectly timed.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, it's all right.
One of the biggest problems there was not just what Sundar Pichai was saying, but that the hosts of the program who were, you know, interviewing him and conducting this were not really pushing back on any of these narratives that he was putting out there.
Of the AI issues we talked about, the most mysterious is called emergent properties.
Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes.
Some AI systems are teaching themselves skills that they weren't expected to have. For example, one Google AI program adapted on its own after it was prompted in the language of Bangladesh, which it was not trained to know.
After the piece came out, AI researcher Margaret Mitchell, who previously co-led Google's AI ethics team, posted on X saying that according to Google's own public documents, the chatbot had actually been trained on Bengali texts. Meaning, oops, this was not evidence of emergent properties.
Whoops. Oops. Good show title, though. Emergent properties. I like that.
The other, that was the one that we heard from the 60 Minutes interview that sort of propelled this. There's always this media propellant. Like with COVID, it was Osterholm on Rogan that lit the fire of COVID. That 60 Minutes thing, I think, was a flashpoint that lit the fire of LLMs. But then, you know, so everybody knows about that one, but the other one you hear all the time is it passed the bar exam. Yeah,
this is a classic.
Yeah. And here's turns out that was BS too. Yeah.
Here's another exaggeration that made its way into a TV news piece.
The latest version, ChatGPT-4, can even pass the bar exam with a score in the top 10%, and it can do it all in just seconds.
ChatGPT-4 scored in the 90th percentile on the bar exam. Was that legit?
Yeah, so that claim was debunked recently.
Julia Angwin is the founder of Proof News. She recently wrote an op-ed for the New York Times titled "Press Pause on the Silicon Valley Hype Machine."
An MIT researcher basically reran the test and found that it actually scored in the 48th percentile. And the difference was that when you're talking about percentiles, you have to say who are the other people in that cohort that you're comparing with, right? And so apparently OpenAI was comparing to a cohort of people who had previously failed the exam multiple times.
OpenAI compared its product to a group that took the bar in February. They tend to fail more than people who take it in July.
And so when you put it compared to a cohort of people who had passed it at the regular rate, then you got to this 48th percentile. The problem is that paper comes out, it's peer reviewed, and it's like goes through the academic process. It comes out like a year later than the claim.
This is, if I can interrupt your flow for a second. This yeah. is part of the reason why I believe the TWiT network is dying. Once phones came out, although it happened before that for many, many years, and this is something I learned from Dave Weiner because he always complained about this. And Dave's good at complaining. The technology press became cheerleaders. And the reason they became cheerleaders is because they would get early access to something. Then if they weren't a cheerleader, their early access would go away. And of course, the hunger for the coolest, latest widget, the new phone with, you know, with the latest cameras in it or whatever the widget is. And they really became, instead of critical, because they get free, you know, evaluation devices and early access, and they all work under embargo. You know, whenever I hear embargo, I'm like, okay, you're promoting something, because, you know, if you get some new, if there's news, it's news, and you report right. on the news. Otherwise, you're just doing embargo. You're just a flowered over PR agent, and so everything is always cool and awesome. It doesn't always work. See the Apple Vision Pro, but in general, and boy, by the way, Kara Swisher is a huge shill in this way. I mean, I remember her saying for months, Apple's thing is going to suck. Who needs it? Then she got an early demo. This is the future. This is fantastic. This is great. Yes. So it's that early, the technology press is not press anymore. And that started with the TWiT network with the phones. When phones came out, it was always the new phone. We got the new cool this, the cool that. It's so cool. It's so cool. And everything became cool and awesome. And they actually became the Sam Altmans, the people on the panel. Well, you could use it for this. Imagine this. Imagine that. Well, emergent properties.
I'll put this back too on Apple. As access journalism has always been a problem, like especially in politics.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
But in the tech world, access journalism was, I think it was refined into an art form by Apple and Steve Jobs specifically.
I agree with you.
Everybody wanted to interview him. Everybody wanted access. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, you had to suck up, to the Apple corporate machine and get in their good graces, because they would cut you off. Mm-hmm. They would cut you off. You wouldn't get invited to their exclusive, new product launches and these kinds of things. You know, you couldn't sit there in the audience and blog as they were talking on stage. And so that goes back to another thing they talked about this interview in this piece about the coveted tech founder interview.
Today we've seen so many fun.
We've got to work on our transitions, Dave. I'm not sure. I'm jumping the gun on you.
Yeah. I'm getting carried away and I'm just like running off at the mouth.
You're literally giving me the cue, what I think is the cue, and I'm like, okay, hit it.
Then okay, let's try it again. And so that brings us back to another thing they talked about in this piece, which is the tech founder interview.
Today, we've seen so many fawning conversations with tech leaders who are at the forefront of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the ones that really stands out, of course, is an interview that Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, did with 60 Minutes back in April of 2023. And in this interview, Sundar was talking about how these AIs were a black box and we don't know what goes on in there.
Yeah, let me put it this way. I don't think we fully understand how a human mind works either.
By the way, nailed it on the transition. That was great. That was great.
So this goes back to, remember, principle number one of the tech hype machine is that these people are insane. They smoke crack.
Actually, they're microdosing ketamine.
LSD. Ketamine. Yeah. The reason I put this in here is because I love what Sundar Pichai, the thing he said, I think it's easy to escape if you're not listening close and thinking about what he said. He said, we don't understand fully the way the human mind works either. Mm-hmm. there is a real equivocation there between LLMs and the human mind.
There's quite a bit of space in between the two.
Can we just say that if you think, if you even attempt to equivocate on those two things, you're literally smoking crack.
Yeah.
You are insane.
Yeah.
But what I love, the best part of the whole on the media, which sort of brings it back around to its hate listen core, you know, is this awesome groundbreaking idea.
Journalists shouldn't believe just a video that claims to show something happening without actually taking a minute to even carefully watch the video or ask to have access to the tool themselves.
Exactly. It's the demo. It's the demo. The demo. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the sad thing is that governments are all over this. And I know why, because the governments are like, hey, wait a minute. If we can control what's in these LLMs, we can control the output and we can have, or what goes into these LLMs, or we can control the companies through legislation. They will be able to control the masses who have been taught by the access journalists that this is real and that this is reasoning and that this is the human brain. And so now, of course, it's backfiring specifically or particularly for Google. Is backfiring big time because it's now they're just a meme. They're just an ongoing meme about the latest crazy thing that Google search is throwing back at people. You know, I don't have to mention them all, but the cockroaches is a fun one.
Oh, that's a great one.
And the glue on the pizza.
My favorite one is the dog in a hot car. Did you see that one?
No, what's that?
It said, is it okay to leave a dog in a hot car? And the answer was, yes, it's perfectly fine to leave a dog in a hot car. And it kept going, and it said, there's even a Beatles song called Dog in a Hot Car. And it started giving lyrics.
That's great.
I love it because when you, it takes away the mystery of all this.
Mm-hmm.
When you can follow the answer it gives and see the Reddit post that it pulled from. Yeah,
exactly. And
makes it where it's no longer mysterious.
And this whole thing is circular because the news business, who is always looking for a daddy. I mean, ever since the internet, the news business has been dying because they mistakenly thought that people would pay for news. And it's always been a loss leader. Back in the days of Cronkite and CBS and the Tiffany Network, it was literally a loss leader. The newspapers found out that, oh, wait a minute, people weren't actually paying to read our news. It was the classifieds that were paying for them to print the news along with the classifieds. And now it's come full circle where these news outlets, the latest being The Atlantic, are like, yeah, we'll sell you our data for your LLM. So it's a circular thing now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be their crap being fed right back into their crap. It's just, it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. And I've predicted this. I'm going to say it one more time. The future is dark. It's a dark winter. And there will be a pivot to the next hype, which will be quantum computing. That's the next pivot. The pivot is quantum. My sister is in this business and she says her customers are already asking for quantum. They've heard it. And Google has products. They are now, they're unaffordable for shopping sites, et cetera, because that's what most of this stuff is being used for. She has clients who, you know, she integrates AI into their shopping systems so that there's never an empty answer. It never comes back and says, no, I don't have that product for you ever. So it's built to lie and say, no, but you might want this. And her customers are already saying, well, can we get quantum? Because we see Google as a very spiffy demo. But once you actually add on the features, it's unaffordable. I mean, there's no way the numbers never work out. But that will be the next hype. And this is the issue. Because you look at the stock market right now, NVIDIA makes up a big part of the S&P 500 spike.
Oh, yeah. It's like something like 5% of the index by itself or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, it's once this, but when this bubble pops, it's going to be bad.
So So I have a clip that I played, a week ago on No Agenda. It's from a New York University professor who was on CNBC. And I love CNBC because they kind of have to report some truth because it is financial. And a lot of it is, it's numbers, you know, this real income. And, you know, once you get past the EBITDA and all that kind of fuzzy numbers, which actual market participants understand very well. This is
Joe and Becky on Squawk Box.
This is the result. And this guy kind of tells it as it is.
You've consistently offered gut checks about hallucinations, lack of progress, the way in which this is not the pipe dream that some envision. Have any of the recent product introductions changed your mind?
No, I mean, we're still basically working with the same technology. It's still designed in the same way. It takes a lot of statistics from a lot of words and tries to predict what happens next. And as soon as these things come out, people start playing with them on Twitter and so forth. And you see a lot of examples where they're still making the same boneheaded mistakes as they were before. Nobody has actually solved hallucinations. And I don't think we can with large language models. I think we need genuine innovation here. So what happens is we have a trap right now where people propose things like the humane AI pin, imagining that AI is solved. And then they put it out in the world and we realize, no, it's not solved. And I'm afraid that it hasn't happened yet.
Are you going so far as to argue that the wave of investment that very smart companies are making right now is misplaced?
I think people are putting in too much money too fast. I do think it's kind of premature. Sam Altman talked about raising $7 trillion. That's like Series H money or something like that when you've really established your business model and so forth. And that just hasn't happened here. I've publicly predicted that OpenAI might turn out to be the WeWork of AI. People might scratch their heads and say, well, this is a solution in search of a problem. We haven't really found the problem. You know, the whole industry spent something like $50 billion last year, made $3 billion in revenue. That is not sustainable in the long term. So either they have to make it better, which has proven really difficult, or they have to find some killer use case, which they haven't really because the performance is unreliable. So yeah, my guess is that a lot of investors are going to be left holding the bag.
$50 billion in, $3 billion out.
Yeah, that's not sustainable unless it's a war.
This is fine.
Yeah,
it's and fine. And the thing is, this all stems from really a math sex cult called effective altruism.
Oh yeah, that Australian chick that sounds like she's from America.
Yeah,
she's in that too.
Yeah, they were all in. They thought they could solve the world's problems through math, but it's really a sex cult. And that's what. Look at Sam Altman,
and what's his name? SBF.
It's same. Also, effective altruism. Another sex cult with a nice apartment.
It's just a sex cult with better digs.
Better digs. Exactly.
This, just bring it back around to podcasting for a second. This is what I kept echoing when I was reading Brian Barletta's piece on Spotify, which I think is a good piece. I think everybody should read it. It's from, if you're thinking about podcasting from his frame, which is advertising, selling ads, he's seeing the result of this same process that happened in the podcasting world. Spotify, I keep thinking back to a couple of years ago, James had mentioned, he said that Spotify's press, their media department was just an absolute machine pumping out press releases like two or three a week. Mm-hmm. And it's that same process of trying to manufacture a myth of inevitability that the future is Spotify. It's going to be, you're going to come, everything's going to be first party data. Everything's going to be going through our app. We're the kings. You better get on board or you're going to get left behind. And now that they've gotten, once they got religion and decided to turn a profit, they've just cut everything. And yep. Now they're ruthless. They're cutting they're cutting out direct sale. Mm-hmm. They're going to start undercutting all of their publishers on the advertising side. Mm-hmm. It's about to get ugly because they saw, and I think they got emboldened by YouTube coming into podcasting. YouTube was like, hell no, we're not doing pass through. We're just going to host everything ourselves.
Yep.
And you get nothing.
Yep. So that's right.
Spotify's
right.
Like, yeah, we're going to do that too.
Yep.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Spotify ditches pass through in the next year or two.
And the only way RSS works is if it works everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, wherever you get your podcast is one of the most powerful statements in media ever created. Ever created. And you can't just have it work on one in one place. That's what we've learned. It's 20 years of experience here. Yeah. It has to work everywhere.
Yeah, that's what we talked about at the very beginning of the show. I mean, if we can't fix the lightning thing, if it doesn't work everywhere, then it doesn't work.
That's right.
It's got to work everywhere.
Let's make it work everywhere, everybody. Let's make it work everywhere.
Well, thanks, people.
Yeah, I'll kick it off with the boost that came in during the show, during this board meeting. D's laughs with 1,000 sats. I'm late to the meeting. What did I miss? cool the planet. Yeah, that's right. Cool the planet. Nice. 11,948. It's your Israeli freedom boost from Sir Brian of London. Because I'm back on track. I'm beating the flack. Nobody's going to get me on another rap. Glad to have you both back. Hey, made another rap. Sir Brian of London. Beautiful. 6006 from Booberry. It's a small boobs boost from Podverse. Tune in June 30th to catch the Hot Liv Tyler, managed by Carolyn Blaney. Frankie Paint, the first boostable lightning designer. DMU DJs Mary Kate Ultra and DeLorean of Homegrown Hits to get turned into cartoons and MC a live battle of the bands featuring $2 Holla, Delta OG, Survival Guide, Emily Rana, Hey Citizen, Mellow Cassette, Empath Eyes, and Herbivore. That's going to be a hoot and nanny.
I like $2 Holla.
I like that a lot. I like it a lot. That's exactly the stuff that we need to be doing with music on Podcasting 2.0. More wallets. Sam Sethi, 1,000 sats. His usual opening line: we already do this for playlists. If you create a playlist and someone plays it, he's coming in from True Fans, of course. We pay the creator of the playlist a percentage. We pay the podcast episode in the playlist. We just need to add V4V splits to publisher feeds. We are doing this for our new event feed. And another 1,000 sats. He sent it twice. Same message twice. He sent it. It's another 1,000 sats. He says, this is a publisher feed. We do this already. So you have a radio feed. I don't think it's the same thing. It was what I described.
It is the same thing, but it depends on how you handle it. Like that's the thing. It's how you parse it. You know, are you expecting to parse it as a pod roll type linkage, or are you expecting to follow the feeds to their sources and then grab the items out?
Okay, so that's an app specific way of parsing.
Yeah, it can do whatever you want depending on, you know, on the medium or whatever.
Got it.
Yeah.
2222 from Lavish Row of Ducks, Ainsley Galactic Premiere Boost. Thank you, brother. That will help.
Daniel Lewis in the chat says, Sam Sethi needs a t-shirt. We do this already.
3333 from Cotton Gin. People pleaser. Beautiful. 5,000 from C Brooklyn 112. And also for people pleaser. Beautiful people. Ainsley nice. Costello boosted 5,000 from Fountain.
Oh, she boosted herself.
I think that's illegal in some states. Dirty Jersey Whore. 19,760 boost. Y'all be good. Boosting from the Podcasting 2.0 boardroom meeting.
Owner of a shiny new Apollo 2 mining unit.
Bro, are we starting our pool?
I think I'll have one shortly.
I love it. I love it. It's a waste of resources, by the way.
It is.
I like wasting resources. I waste a lot of resources in my life. This is one way. Yes. I love doing it. 777 from It's a Mood Mike. Also for People Pleaser, as first heard on Podcasting 2.0, the value for value way. Great tune, Ainsley. Nice. We've got 12,621 from Chimp. And also heard it on Podcasting 2.0. And he adds, with the Pod Sage.
You don't count?
Guess not.
Sorry, man.
50,000 sats from Adam Curry for Ainsley, but couldn't resist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I want to make sure something nice came through there. 5,000 for C Brooklyn 112. for Ainsley, people pleaser. This is great, guys. And another $2,500 from Ainsley. This is for Nathan Doze and Christian Harger, the collaborators. I think that's Music Mama. Music Mama doing that. Billy Bones, $333 for Ainsley. The Tone Record, $333.33 for Ainsley. This is great, guys. This is gonna make some people pay attention. $5,150 from the Tone Record. Did a quick catalog count of artists on the Wave Lake platform the other night. It showed over 900 accounts now. Seems like a big recent jump. I don't know. It's possible. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. NA Millennial, hope this helps cover your doom hole. 5,000 sats.
It does.
Tone Record with a row of ducks catching show live today. Always a treat. Alberto from RSS.com with 1,000 sats with a whole bunch of really happy, fun emojis.
RSS.com, they're lit now.
Yes.
You can do live through their platform.
That's another thing, man. The live and lit stuff is a future for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I'm going to get them on the show here.
Yes. So we have Andrew Grummet next week, right?
We do. Yep.
I'm excited to have him on. 777 from Dreb Scott. Dave, he says 3,000 days weak sauce. We heard that earlier. 7777 from Dreb Scott. Pre-show boost. Got the bat signal. And then we have, did you get Eric, our podcast Eric, on your list? You might not have. It came in just before we started. I'll do it just in case.
Just in case.
Right. 32,768, which is an interesting number. Howdy, Adam and Dave. At least you had a perfectly logical reason for your break last week. As for me, I forgot to hit the record button for my R Weekly Highlights podcast last week.
You only do
that once or twice in your life. Even with my show notes, Doc having press record everywhere, no AI bot overlords have taken over this guy yet. No, man, I'm sorry. I know how that hurts. That hurts so much. It's the worst. That's what I got from the live boost.
Have you ever done a whole show and just not recorded
it? Yes, I have. Now, luckily, it actually happened in the 1,664 episodes I've done of No Agenda. It's happened probably twice. Okay. And luckily, there are many producers out there who automatically spin up stream recording devices and actually make a link of it. It's all automated. So if that happens again, or if I have some disaster, I can always go to that link and grab the show from the stream, which granted has a little different sound processing once it comes back, but it has been a saving grace a couple of times.
Yeah. I think I remember one time a long time ago where maybe Darren O'Neill had to send you a copy or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And back in the day when I was on WITB-FM, Salem, West Virginia, at the college radio station, sunrise to sundown, everybody. I did a whole show in the morning before I realized I forgot to turn the transmitter on. Yep.
Oh God, that's bad.
I came in all groggy, you know, college kid. Came in all groggy. And I'm like, and I'm start the show. I'm like, oh no,
it's so bad.
And there's a nice row of ducks. In fact, it's 22,222 from Lavish, who says, "Good meeting." Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, like Lavish.
Meeting. What else you got on your list there, Dave?
Oh, I got some PayPals. I got some. I did not have time to print these, so this is going to be a mix of everything in one batch. You got Paul Saltzman, 2222. Thank you, Paul. Oh, we got the boys from Buzzsprout, Tom, Kevin, Albin, all the other guys, John, everybody, $1,000.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Man, I can't thank you guys enough. You are really keeping it going for us. Thank you so much. That's big. That's huge. It's huge.
Much appreciated.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Send us some fan mail, guys. No, it doesn't work that way.
We need a fan mail link.
Trevor. Satan's lawyer from Xenor down in Australia, $5.
I appreciate that Satan at least is listening to us.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope he doesn't sue us. but let's see. Paul Erskine, longtime donor to the show. He's uh, he said, he sent a note. I just wanted to read a little bit of it. He said, I'm just listening to the 180th boardroom where you're talking about local podcasting. Mm-hmm. Sorry if this comes up, but I'm only part of the way through. He says, we were just on vacation with a rental car and wanted to find some local stations. So we hopped on the radio in the car and started searching. That was very easy. And everyone knows how to do that. How do we do this for podcasting? Is there a geography tag or something similar that is there or could be added? Then podcast apps could use location or zip code or something like that to find local. Bottom line thought, if local discovery is easier, then the local digital distribution may allow for faster uptick.
Haven't we changed the geolocation tag to reflect that if that is something that someone is doing in that tag?
Well, the location tag is still for what the podcast is about, not where it's from.
I thought I heard James relenting and saying we should change that to have an option to be where it's from.
Ooh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, which I think is a good idea to make it an option. Okay. That way there's no confusion. It's either about where it's about or where it originates from.
Maybe we need an attribute in there that will toggle that.
I think that's what he was talking about.
Okay.
There may be a GitHub discussion about this.
No, I'm going to go look.
Yeah.
Michael Goggin, $5. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Charles Current, $5. Thank you, Charles. We've got a new monthly subscriber for $5 a month, Jorge Hernandez.
Thank you, Jorge.
Yeah, appreciate that. We've got Christopher Reamer, $10. Thank you, Christopher. Cohen Glossbach, $5. James Sullivan, $10. We got Jordan Dunville, $10. Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb.
Thank you.
Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And that's all of our PayPals. Now we got some boosts. Let's see.
Boosterama.
Here's some boosts. I found some boosts. Okay. Chad F, 33333. That's a big one. Fountain, he says, nice. Great discussion on bringing podcasting back to its roots.
We try.
Yeah, we do try. Sam Sethi, this is from May the 18th, 2625. Through True Fans, he says, True Fans support from episode 180, Serial Churn. Okay, so that just must be an automated message.
That is his auto message. And it shows up here, my helipad as well. So whether he listens to it or not, the way True Fans works is it automatically sends a payment when an episode drops that you've set up auto payments for.
With a message saying that's like the automated boost. Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Anonymous Podcast Guru users, 5,000 sats through Podcast Guru. He says, I so love where all this is headed. This is what gets me firing on all cylinders, forward motion, progress, and dreaming, all while recognizing the reality of just how fast this is all materializing. Plus, Adam is speaking my language today. Nanu, nanu.
Progress is a process.
Gene Bean, 5,000 sats through Castomatic. Gene says, y'all are spot on. Podcasting is perfect for local. I think that's one reason it works so well for church sermon podcasts, like the one I put out for my church called Encouraged and Emboldened at ee.cbnpodcast.org.
Nice. Yep. I believe in that.
Brian Intsminger, 1701, that's what you call a Star Trek boost. He says, wow, the Google AI clip was hilarious.
I don't remember. What was it?
That was 2 weeks ago. I don't remember it either. 44 sats through from Dwev. He's part of the
socials.
Castapod group.
Ah, yes.
Through Castomatic, he says, talking about scams is a good time to promote one of my favorite listens, Darknet Diaries by Jack Reciter.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good show.
I've heard that show. Yeah.
Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, I absolutely love the idea of titles and images for seasons. Cool.
Yes. Yep,
we're going to do that.
Yes.
Alan C. Paul, Striper Boost, 7777. Through Fountain, he says, this is a deep dive into the nature of intellectual property and the way it will work in this new system.
We tried that too. Yeah. Everything's coming together. But progress is a process.
And the Delimiter, comic strip blogger, 23,000 sats.
Woo.
Says, it was a long one. It says, howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like to, again, recommend a podcast by two Texans, Ben, the cybersecurity expert, and Gene, the corporate efficiency expert.
The good old boys.
They talk about fun stuff. Quote from the latest episode. Gene, I really wish they'd focus on some Linux stuff, but they haven't done that yet. Ben, hey, you know, it's the year of Linux. This is the official year of Linux. Find their podcast at Was that a transcript? I guess. Find that. Boy, that really rolls you in and makes you want to listen to the show. Find their podcast at www.justtwogoodoldboys.com or search for it in podcasting 2.0 apps to use their transcript. Yo, CSB.
Yo.
Thank you, CSB.
Yeah, brother. Thank you. I hope he isn't mad when we slag off AI. He's a believer. Right. He's a believer in the AI.
He'll be a believer in it in a year or so.
Whew. Well, I think we were jam-packed with our board meeting. Let's build some wallets, everybody.
Yes.
Let's come up with some stuff. We'll be looking at, we'll see if we can offer some ideas and solutions. And if you have them, let us know. If there's anything out there so we can keep this going, I think it's a good idea. It does work. It does work. You see it right here on this program.
Well, Sam at Wavelate just sent me an email saying there's a duplicate feed for Ainsley.
I may have done that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I might have. But the question is, which one do we delete?
He shows me the one to delete. I'll take care of it.
But will that screw up the boost that we've done here on the show?
No, I don't think so.
Will it screw up my value time split that I'm going to put in after the fact? No, it won't.
No, because it points
to the feed, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. You'll take care of it.
I got it.
Yeah. I think it was my fault because I needed to grab the track with the value time split stuff and it wasn't in there yet. And I didn't know if they were going to put it in on time. So I think I duped it. I duped it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, both of these, they have the same GUID. So they should be
okay.
Fine.
I duped it. I'm sorry. I created a dupe. I try not to dupe.
The power of the GUID.
There you go. Let's have a great weekend, Brother Dave.
All right, man, you too.
And thank you, everybody in the boardroom. We'll be back next week, Friday, podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! TV is what's playing in God's waiting room.